What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Touch screen controls in modern cars pose a road safety risk. This is the commentary from Euro NCAP. They're the consumer organisation that basically give the safety ratings on cars. And what they say is that touch screens, which are used for radio, your aircon, your temperature controls, and even for some driver controls, are now taking drivers' eyes off the road. And I don't know about you, but whenever you're in a new car or in a taxi, like some of the touchscreen screens now, they're absolutely huge. They're nearly the size of an iPad that you have. Mary is with us on the line today. Mary, do you find them distracting?
Well, I don't have one myself, Andrea, but I've been in the car with them. But I suppose I was on before about mobile phones and using sat-nav on them and that. So yeah, anything that distracts you for a second. And even for myself, I was just thinking when I was told I was coming on this or asked that I was one day just even using my radio and I was coming on to, it was slow traffic and I was coming on to a roundabout. And by the time I found the number on the touchscreen, and this is only just, you know, inbuilt, it's not a monitor, that I actually, or a console, I actually ended up in the middle of the roundabout, like two rows over. So, and that was just like scrolling in the, looking for a number on the Bluetooth. You know?
It was already saved on the screen or
exactly,
in the system.
Exactly. Whereas people with these big screens, and seemingly they're much cheaper to install, which is the reason, than the buttons. So they're actually cheaper. And just,
are they?
When I knew I was coming out, they're cheaper. And that's why you see like fairly affordable cars with the big screens. And everyone thinks they're driving a plane. But planes actually have buttons for the very reason is that it's not safe. So they have buttons and they even have different size buttons for different controls is what I read. So they're bringing back the buttons in the cars, but it is more expensive. But so it's not really the safety for us. You know, it's all about money, I suppose, in the car industry. But those screens, you have to scroll. Even if you're turning down the heating, I think, you have to scroll down and then scroll again and scroll again. And like I know from my own story there now that when I was driving and just using, which you're allowed, looking for a number on the telephone directory in the car, I ended up in the middle of a roundabout. Do you know, like, and that was just slowly driving in traffic. And you know, I don't know how many drivers I see a day. One day I counted six, I think, within 30 seconds looking down into their laps at phones. So yeah, absolutely, it is a problem. But I don't know how we put the genie back in the bottle, because everybody is attached. And you see even the end drivers now, because they've been born with phones in their hands, that they don't even realize as novice drivers that it's an extra risk. So like, it's so common to see novice drivers and everyone else looking at their phone, because they were reared with the thing in their hand, and it's like it pings, they're gone. And you can see it. If you stand at any bridge, any slow traffic in Ireland, you look and you see the heads are in the laps looking at phones.
You see it. Yeah. And I take your point. And I know, and particularly, I suppose, if the on-screen console in the middle of the car is there, often now WhatsApp, you know, it can ping up on that, on the app or voice notes. So probably very easy for motorists to touch that as well. The car I'm driving at the moment is so old, Mary, that there isn't a sign of there being any level of touch screen on it. It's very much buttons for sure.
You're safe from yourself.
Yeah. Shane O'Donoghue is the editor of CompleteCar.ie. Stay with us, Mary, for a few moments. Should we bring back buttons, Shane?
Oh, absolutely. Andrea, we review new cars every week. That's kind of our main core, and in all reviews of ours that you'll read for the last few years, you'll see reference to this. And we've been campaigning is too strong a word, but we regularly say, okay, touchscreen is fine, it's sharp, it's fast and everything, but why are the climate controls on it? Why do you have to press a button or go through several menus to find where to put up the temperature by a couple of degrees or turn on the fan? And I think, to be honest, I think the car manufacturers are listening. or some of them are, because some of the more recent models, there's been a return to using physical buttons for the heating and ventilation, if nothing else. Now, not all the manufacturers are doing that, and there's definitely a big proliferation of use of the touchscreen. And, you know, it's really bad. It's very distracting.
Is Mary right about that? Is it a finance thing? Is it cheaper for the car manufacturer to install the on-screen console than the simple buttons?
Yes, in a roundabout way, because you mean when you think of any given car range, there's all different versions at different price ranges and different equipment on board. And before, what you used to have is button blanks. So, you know, in a lower...
The fake car button.
Yeah. There'd be nothing there because that car didn't have, say, heated seats or whatever. So it'd be a blank bit of plastic. And that's kind of ugly. So to save that as well, now you just have everything on the touchscreen, and so all the cars look the same. And it's very easy to add features or take away features. So it is definitely, from the car manufacturer's point of view, a cost-saving thing. Though I would also suggest that the marketing divisions are probably saying that people want this technology, and they think it looks good and they think it's modern.
Well, Kieran, do you find the touchscreen in the car a distraction?
Well, I'm a bit like yourself, Andrea. The car I drive is so old that there aren't any touchscreens in it. It's all
it's one less problem we have.
And to be honest, I must prefer that. You know, it's a very tactile thing. You can reach out without even looking. You know where the button is. You know where the knob is, and you can turn it, and you know how much you're turning it by. And it's a much more intuitive thing. It just baffles me that we've moved from that to a touchscreen position, as Mary described there, where you've got to take your eyes off the road for. To find out where you're pressing the button and to find out how much it's gone up or down or whatever it is. It's baffling that we've allowed that to happen. And it's really encouraging, actually, that the European New Car Assessment Programme, the speaker, I think, at the RSA conference this week was saying that we need to regulate this and we need to legislate it, because we can't rely on people's good behaviour to do this. It's too much of a temptation when you have a screen. And we need to design the cars in such a way that they are safer. And we've gone backwards on this one, unfortunately. And to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed with the RSA's press release on this, where they didn't really talk about technical solutions. They're very much focusing on driver behaviour. But you're not going to get people to stop using a touchscreen if it's there in front of them. You know, it's just that's not going to happen. So I very much support the idea of changing, of regulating the design of cars. We don't have these dangerous situations.
I wonder as well, Shane, like, look, I mean, over the years, you know, we say your Google Maps or your in-car satellite maps that people use, like that, I suppose, typically, initially it used to be the additional thing. I can't think of the brand now. Was it Garmin used to do the...
Garmin, TomTom.
Yeah, they used to do the road maps on the on-screen system. But does that, like, because now people are using those through screens and all of their phone apps, like your phone is basically now connected to your car through Apple Play and a lot of the new cars when you're in them, does that entice people then? You know, there's more voice noting when you're driving. People, as Mary said, the WhatsApp pings up on the screen. People can easily reply. Like, does it encourage that?
Oh, yeah, I think it does, unfortunately. The systems are great and I use them myself, but they definitely encourage more interaction with the screen. And I mean, Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, the other one, they both are ostensibly designed not to try and reduce distraction. By most of them don't allow easy typing in of, say, full addresses or anything. You have to use voice. Unless you go an extra level in the menu. But that just doesn't work. The fact that it's there at all encourages people to interact with it more, touch the screen more, look at the screen more. And the person just spoke to Kieran there, he made such a good point. With a button, with a physical control in the car, you get used to where it is, you don't have to look at it. With a touchscreen, no matter how used to the menu system you are, you always have to look at the screen to find where the button is or where the menu option is. And that's at the core of the issue.
What's your view on this, Luke? You've been listening to Mary and Shane and Kieran. Do you think the in-car screens, I should say, are they a distraction?
Yeah, they certainly are a distraction, sir. I was in a family member's car recently and they just bought a new car with a big new screen, and the windscreen was starting to fog up. And she went, just from muscle memory, went to clear the windscreen. But then when the dial wasn't there, she had to go through the screen to clear the to clear the windscreen, and obviously that means her eyes are off the road as well. So unfortunately, I don't think there's any way of getting away from the large screens in cars, because the manufacturers use them to update the car remotely. But what they should do, I think what they're trying to push, definitely Volkswagen are trying to push back to this, is have the main functionalities of the car back to being buttons. So your temperature control, your lights, or your clear your windscreen should definitely be buttons, because they can be glanced at for 1 second, or by muscle memory, just be accessed quickly. But again, they're not going to move away from having a screen, because it is cheaper and they'll need it to perform updates. But definitely the main functionality should be put back buttons, in my opinion.
Over the years, though, I mean, they started to move a lot of those control feature settings, the buttons, from the centre console even to the screen, to your driver steering wheel as well, to make it more accessible for drivers.
Yeah, and now they seem to have gone back. So, like, I know some cars you can, like, the phone controls will be on your steering wheel, but like the secondary settings for the car, no problem having them on the screen, because you sort of have to be stopped and look. Like, you should be stopped and, you know, to look at them or change the other settings in the car. But the main functionality that you need while you're driving should be accessible from muscle memory or just at a glance. You shouldn't have to go through a screen, like, or multiple screens to access something quickly whilst you're driving. That shouldn't be. I know some car manufacturers don't have it as accessible, but it shouldn't be a process like that in the first place, in my opinion.
I wonder, are there certain brands that are maybe, well, if you want to say, more guilty of this than others? Shane, I don't mind mentioning, I was in a taxi recently and the taxi was a Tesla. One of the first times I've ever actually been in this model of a Tesla. Absolutely fantastic, fabulous car. But, like, I couldn't get over how big the iPad type console in the car, for all of the control features and settings in the centre. Like, it was huge. It was magnificent as a passenger to look at it. But, like, I'm sure for the driver, everything must have been through the iPad in the middle of the car.
Yeah, I mean, Tesla is probably at the forefront of it. I mean, they're not the only ones. Even recent updates to their cars have put the driving control, so, you know, pressing park, drive, reverse, neutral, are now suddenly on the screen as well. So there's no physical drive selector. I don't like that personally. Again, it's a money saving thing, but also maybe a style thing, that the interior of the car looks really minimalist. I think we need some legislation on the European level to govern this. And Luke just mentioned there about primary controls and important controls. I think that would be a really easy way to legislate it, that things like this legislation could specifically say that all heating controls need to be buttons, and things like lights and demisting windows and all that. I think that'd be quite simple. I don't think we can rely on the RSA, unfortunately, because they don't have authority over that.
Yeah, the powers to do it. It's funny, I would have thought the total opposite to Mary in this. I actually thought the idea of the all touch screen controls, I thought that nearly added a bit of luxury to it, because the likes of Tesla are doing it. I thought that's why other brands, I didn't realise it was a finance thing.
Yes, it's definitely a money saving thing. I mean, it's a style thing too, and you know,
the sort of Scandi minimalist look.
Yeah, exactly. The world is obsessed with technology, but somebody mentioned there, even smaller cars having it, and so clearly that's not purely for style and everything, because they're, you know, theoretically quite an expensive thing to install, but actually longer term it's easier to update, and it means you
That's
can have the same screen and loads of different cars.
Dexter here says, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, any discussion about trying to ban touchscreens in cars. I think it's so handy, says this listener. Another texter says they own a Porsche. Is it a Taycan? I often said to my husband that the touchscreen is worse than people using their phone while they're driving. It needs a lot of attention to use, and one can easily lose concentration on the road. Paul, why did you get in touch about this?
Well, I think my particular car now has voice control. I mean, it can receive WhatsApp messages. It'll read it out to me. It'll say, do you want to reply? And you say, yes. You know, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Navigate me to Tesco supermarket. And it does it. You know, I don't know. My car is 10 years old. So, you know, and my daughter's just bought an electric one, and that's very similar. Change the temperature, turn on lights. I don't know what the problem is.
And is it voice recognition then does all of this? She doesn't even have to touch the screen.
You don't have to touch the screen. Very rarely do I have to touch the screen, because obviously is not as sophisticated as the newer models, but most of the stuff I'm driving along to Enniskillen, and it'll say text message from Joan, what time are you going to be here? And I, do you want to reply? Yes. I'll be there in about 15 minutes. Don't see any problem.
Now, that's kind of, that's sort of different though, Shane, is it? The voice recognition to the to actually having to touch the screen.
Yeah, and to be fair, almost every car that comes with a touchscreen now has a voice activation system as well. I've tried literally hundreds of them. And that is less distracting, and it's built into like the Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, like I mentioned a minute ago. But I find that most of the voice activation systems are poor. So you regularly have to give a second attempt at the command or whatever. I mean, there's memes all over the internet about these things, about voice recognition software in general, or voice activation software. And it applies to cars as well. I don't find them reliable.
What about you, Drew? You're on the line from Canada today. Why did you get in touch about this?
I am. Good morning. I listen to your show here, and it's very early here. It's 5 in the morning.
Right.
I wanted to say... with our problems with screens on this side of the pond is cold. I'm not familiar with how cold you guys have your winters, but here we can reach into the minus 50s Celsius, and that is without the wind. In the winds, we can reach down to minus 54s, 55s, and lower, depending on what's going on with the weather. But our screens here don't like to work. You end up with cars that you turn the car on, start, whether it be whatever the engine type. Even the electrics failed to start at all sometimes, but you don't have that screen. You don't have the ability to see anything because the screen are much like our phones and LCD TVs and everything else. They don't like to work in the cold.
So the whole lot basically freezes up, Drew, in bad weather. You've no control.
Exactly. So if you've got heating controls like some of these cars do, or many of them do now, or even smaller ones now, there's buttons I know that are coming on the market where the buttons themselves are displays.
Yeah.
And they change. And so if it's that cold, your car won't, you can't see the buttons, or you can't warm it up, or you can't use X feature because you can't see it until that car is warmed up. And here we got the remote starts on the cars, or you literally go out in the cold, you brave yourself in the cold, you go start your car and you go back into the house, and then 15 minutes you leave. Right? And it's not like that all year, obviously, but we do have big stints that it's like that.
Yeah, well, so particularly, where are you joining us from today, Drew? Where in Canada?
I'm in just outside of Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Right.
It's about two and a half hours north of the US border.
Okay. So, your winters are pretty cold probably from the next couple of weeks onwards then. Right into February.
We're in the 20s right now, but literally right now outside it's probably around zero. So it's not bad yet, but in about a week or two here it's going to dump, and it'll stay down until it could be anywhere from... March, April.
Yeah.
You know, it's spring in April and we're still getting snowstorms.
Well, thankfully our winters aren't too bad, but great to know you're tuned into us all in Canada this afternoon. Always. Thanks for getting in touch, Drew. Cormac and Sword says all car manufacturers have stopped making standard car radios, the CD players, so that's forcing you to use the touch screen even just to stream music. This texter again, yeah, absolutely, totally agree with Shane on this. Screens should be banned. Also, buttons should be banned. Car radios and the heat controls should be controlled very simply by the old-fashioned knob. You can use them without looking at them. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Are touchscreen controls in cars too dangerous?
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.